Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا على صلاة هيا على صلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير نشهد أن سيد محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. ألم تر إلا الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن أتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم رب الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين Sadaqallahu al-Azim. This is the 258th ayah of the second surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Quran. And an expression of it is, have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord, merely because Allah had given that one kingship? When Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death, he said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east. So bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Brother and sister, today is the 24th part of the subject, the science of truth and reality. And we have entered upon the information that bears on the subject in two other ayahs, of the Quran, those two ayahs being Surah 34, 48, and also 49. It says, reading the Arabic and an expression of it, A'udhu Billah, we've gone through this one. A'udhu Billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَخْزِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَامُ الْقُيُوبِ. It says, say to them, my Lord projects what you perceive with the truth. He knows fully all that lies beyond the range of human perception. Also, today we begin to drill down, if you will, into the next verse, 49 of Surah 34. And let me give you the name of that. That's Surah. That is Surah Saba, Surah Saba, as in Queen of Sheba. That's Surah Saba, the city, Saba. 49 of Surah Saba, 34. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَمَا يُبْدِعُ بَاطِلُ وَمَا يُعِيدُ. صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Say, the truth has come, and falsehood neither originates anything nor does it repeat or restore. Sadaqallahu alazim, Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. So, alhamdulillah. So, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us in the first instance, in this particular verse, our focus is initiated by Ayah 49 of Surah 34, alhamdulillah. And it is, in the first instance, it's telling us that falsehood is unnatural. I'm telling you, if you get that one sentence, and so somebody asks you next week, what did Shuaib talk about in his khutbah? His focus was falsehood is unnatural. So on the verses, on verse 34, pardon me, chapter 34, verse 49, 34, 49, Surah Saba. That's the key. So everywhere we go is anchored in that idea. Okay? That is that falsehood is unnatural in that it doesn't originate with Allah. Falsehood is unnatural in that it doesn't originate with Allah. Allah says He originates and repeat. And Allah says in the Quran, falsehood does neither of those. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates has that nature. But falsehood, being not of that nature, does not have that quality. And mashallah, alhamdulillah, and thinking has everything to do with what we're saying here. So you have the shaytan, right? There's some that say if God created everything, then who created Satan? Right? Yeah, those. And I believe there's a report that says only Satan asked that question. Only Satan asked that question. So the idea is Allah didn't create Satan. Allah created the jinn. And Iblis was a jinn. And the jinn have the freedom to choose the right way or the wrong way. But their general proclivity is inna nafsala amaratu bisu'in ila ma rahima rabbi. It says the nafsala amarat, which we can apply on the first order to that jinn nature. When I say jinn nature, it leads me to a whole lot of things got to be explained. Because a jinn is attached to us, jinn thereby are carnate, but not innate. So when we say jinn, the jinn has its nature. We have our human nature, right? One of the things that the jinn and the human have in common is rationality, is free will, right? The jinn has the will and the human being has the will. The jinn leans to the left. Let's just put it like that. The jinn leads to the left. As the prophet said, everyone, every child of Adam, there's not a child of Adam, but that there's a jinn associated with them, right? Not born in them, but there's understanding and information to understand it from that perspective. But the idea is that they are carnate. I say again, like your shadow, like your shadow. Your shadow is not in you, but if you exist, you have a shadow. All right? Okay. So if you exist, you have a jinn. And when the Prophet was asked, and you too, he said, yes, but Allah has helped me overcome mine, so I'm free from his mischief. So his general proclivity is to mischief. إلا بسور. It's inclined to evil, inclined to wrong, inclined to disobedience and all of the above. Until and unless that jinn is overcome, إلا برحمة ربي. Except, and it can only be done so with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to mention, as usual, that Suleiman had a jinn in his council, right? Ifrit of the jinn, big jinn, okay? Not small jinn, big jinn, strong jinn, right? But he was under Solomon's control, and also Solomon used jinns as divers and builders, blah, blah. So I'm saying, so it's like, so Solomon wasn't a jinn, and it's not a jinn, quote unquote, in him, but there are jinns associated with him, and his life is a sign of the master of the jinn. You can get things done, all right? So if you don't master the jinn, then the jinn masters you, and then you're done. So, mashallah. So, Allah does what he will. So, that being said, it said, who created Satan? Allah didn't create Satan. Allah created the jinn. The jinn has this rationality. Iblis was a jinn. And when Iblis decided to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he became Satan. So Satan is Iblis's own making. Satan is of Iblis's own making. But it wasn't that Allah did not know that was a possibility in the jinn, and so much of that story. But I don't want to keep going down that road, because there's a lot of deep understanding important over there. But so let's just let it be understood that the lie that Shaitan, he's the liar, he's the prime liar, he's the first liar, all right? And that lie, the first lies and deceptions that he brought is when he talked to Adam, he said, shall I not show you, or shall I not lead you to a kingdom that will never decay? Well, there is no such kingdom. There is no such kingdom except Allah's kingdom, and certainly Satan is not trying to lead you to the kingdom of God. He's trying to take you out of paradise. So even if, you know, without studying it in detail, it's like, okay, well, that's the first lie right there. And that lie didn't start with God. That lie is not rooted in the reality that Allah has created. That lie originated in the rationality of the shaitan, once Iblis, who was a jinn. All right, so I say again that in the first instance, when Allah says that the truth has come and falsehood neither originates nor repeats, is a statement that falsehood is unnatural, okay, and that it doesn't originate with Allah, okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of his own methodology, his own way, إنه it says إنه يبدو الخلق ثم يعيد. It says he is the one that begins the process of creation and then repeats it. He is the one that begins the process of creation and then repeats it. That's the way that Allah, what Allah does, he originates it and then he gives it this natural cycle and repetition. Very, very rich scientific meaning in it. We've touched on science, and we always want to, you know, bring in and let you know that the science of truth and reality is that. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the unseen / metaphysical, the ghuyub, all of that, that's truth and reality. And then also there's understanding of the operations of the nature of creation. That is also truth and reality. And the material scientists are the ones who, inshallah, bismillah, by Allah's permission, they are able to grasp vis-a-vis the operations of the nature of creation and then see how the operation of the nature of creation repeats themselves And that's also what gives things in life. That's what gives this domain scientific possibility, what gives science its own predictability. Science gets its predictability from the fact that these laws are recurrent. These laws are permanent. These laws are fixed by the design of Allah. For Shamsu wa Qamaru bi husban, and the sun and the moon follow orbits, follow patterns that are explicitly computed. They are, it orbits, it goes around, it's going to come back. Goes around, it's going to come back. Night and day, ebb and flow, seasons come and go, etc. This is the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Life and death is the nature. So this is the nature of creation. When you think about pi, you think about the golden ratio, you think about Fibonacci numbers, you think about all these mathematical realities that extend and apply, fractals, all this. I want to say this so you understand that there's the truth of unseen, which the first verse, the 34:48, is saying Allah sees what is beyond the human perception, not only what the human being can see, and also because of the nature of his limitations cannot see. Allah is the one who everything that is beyond human perception, and so these things, even the unseen, alamul ghuyub, Allah knows those things that are beyond human perception, but they are real, even though human beings don't perceive it. And so the point is that when we talk about things, as we just mentioned, fractals and pi and all those things, pi has a pattern that, quote unquote, never repeats, but every time somebody calculates pi, it always comes out the same, but it itself never repeats. But that's another important thing to understand. So now, having said that, not only is falsehood unnatural, there's a difference. Falsehood is anti-natural. Not only is falsehood unnatural, meaning that what it points to, where it comes from, the nature of it, whatever it might be, it is unnatural. It is unnatural. That means it is not natural, right? Let's take racism. Racism is not natural. Preferring your own to others, that's natural. Having preferences, that's natural. But racism, deem it and acculturate people to believing that it is divinely ordered, that it is from God, that's falsehood, and that's unnatural. Racism is unnatural. Okay. It had to be created by man, just like Satan, where Satan says, "Shall I lead you to a kingdom that will never decay?" There's no such kingdom that never decays that he's talking about, right? Allah is Malikul Mulk, without even going into that, Allah's domain, no, it never decays, and Satan doesn't have any power, control, or what have you in that domain. But the idea is that it's unnatural, but I want you to also understand that falsehood is anti-natural. Falsehood is anti-natural. Anti-natural. Tempted to say something about anti-fragile, but we're going to stay away from that. I'll just mention it. The point is, well, I guess I got to mention it now. We talked about antimatter, we talked about antifragile. We're talking about truth and reality, the science of truth and reality, so you should expect things like this. Inshallah, biznillah, with Allah's permission, guidance, and help. So something is fragile, it's something that, easily broken. So antifragile itself doesn't mean that it's easily broken. Antifragile actually means it's something that's made stronger by being resisted. Something that's made stronger by being resisted. by being resisted. So if something is anti-fragile, then the way it's understood is that it doesn't mean that it's unbreakable, because that would be like that. Fragile is very breakable, very vulnerable. The opposite of it would mean that it is breakable, not breakable. They have a funny style little science fiction flick around that same thing. But let's get away from that. The idea is that so it's not the difference between or the antithesis of fragile being unbreakable. This is not the antithesis of fragile. It's a different meaning, that it's something that can be opposed, but in it being opposed, it becomes stronger. Okay. Now, when we say something is unnatural, we're saying it doesn't originate with Allah. It doesn't originate with Allah. But when something is anti-natural, it is something that is against nature. Something that is against nature. Falsehood is against nature. Okay? So when we say that falsehood is anti-natural, it's against nature. What do you mean? Nature is the intention, the purpose, the direction that was given to a thing by Allah. That's what we mean by nature. Nature is the direction, the purpose, the intention that was given to a thing by Allah. It's worth saying again. Nature is the intention, the purpose, and the direction that is given to a thing by Allah. So Allah is not the creator of falsehood. So he doesn't give it its intention, doesn't give it its direction. He doesn't give it its nature. He doesn't give it. Falsehood is not only unnatural, it's anti-natural. So what is falsehood? Falsehood is against the will of Allah, put it simply. Falsehood is against the design. Falsehood is against the intention. Falsehood is against the purpose. Falsehood is against the direction of Allah. Okay? So falsehood is both of those. It is both unnatural and it is anti-natural. And I want you to also understand that incorporates everything in every sphere, in every domain, in every order of human endeavor. You will find now here in the 21st century, you will find it saturated with falsehood. What do you mean, bro? Food. Is there not anti-natural foods? Foods that do not accord with the will, the direction, the purpose, the design, the intention of Allah for food. So then there are anti-natural foods. You know, you got whatever, GMOs, this is good. Some of them call them Frankenfoods, et cetera. So many other things. Even the markets that we have. I'm not talking about supermarkets, even though there's a natural allusion to that. I'm talking about the money market. The money market. It's also false. It's not natural. It's anti-natural. The plan, the design, the purpose, the intention of God for economy, for commerce, that's not the world we have. That's not the market we have. That's not the global economy we have. It is not only an unnatural market, it is an anti-natural market, because the natural role of the market is to serve the needs of the people. And so, brothers and sisters, let's cut it right here. It applies everywhere. So you have falsehood in every domain of human life. And how do you know when you are faced with it? When it is unnatural and when it is anti-natural, something you may be surprised to hear. But Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, on that market piece, since we've mentioned it, is that, do you know that putting fixed prices on an item is unnatural? It's unnatural to say, this is how much this costs. That's not natural. You go in the supermarket, everything, that's the price. That's the price. That's not a natural market. Huh? So we'll get to y'all see me on Monday. We might say some more about that. But the idea is to understand that in a natural market that I'll give you this much for that. The market should be able to say, the market is supposed to be the people who have the need. But then if you don't respect the need of the person, and you only respect, well, what it costs you and the level of profit you want to make, no matter what the level of need and value of what you're offering is, that's an unnatural market. And it is also an anti-natural market. And all you got to do is look at the world where it is right now, and you'll understand. But let's move on from this. So falsehood is unnatural, and falsehood is anti-natural. And this is why references to nature in defense of truth destroy falsehood. That's what we saw in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Nimrod, who is the character, according to reports, of the 258th ayah of the second surah of the Quran that is saying, I give life, I cause death. Well, then Abraham took him to nature. He said, okay, Allah is the one who caused the sun to rise from the east and set in the west. You reverse that order. Well, he's done. There's nothing he can do. So what did Abraham resort to in his battle with falsehood, and to win the argument, he went to nature. And when nature comes up against falsehood, the truth coming up against falsehood which doesn't originate with God and doesn't is not a part of the natural force and source of creation, it goes away like fog, darkness, mist, when the light comes on, when the sun comes out. That's what happens with truth, when truth comes up against falsehood. So when Allah is telling us this, Allah is defining what is truth, what is falsehood. Falsehood doesn't originate, nor does it restore, it's not regenerative, right? But truth originates with Allah, and truth repeats, and truth restores. And we also know truth resurrects. Truth brings life back after it has died. So it's very, very important for us to understand that nature of falsehood and that nature of truth. I want to, in support of the ideas of that 49th verse, I'm going to bring in two more verses. And those two verses are 14, 24, and 25. And that surah is Ibrahim, chapter 14, surah Ibrahim, verses 24 and 25. Reading an expression of it, it says, do you not see how Allah sets forth a parable? A goodly word is like a goodly tree whose root is firmly fixed and its branches reach to the heavens. It brings forth its fruit at all times by the leave of its Lord. So Allah sets forth parables for men in order that they may receive admonition. Alhamdulillah. So the first of those two verses, 24, it says, do you not see how Allah sets forth a parable? And then when Allah sets forth a parable, he goes on to tell us, what is the parable? The parable is a goodly word. A goodly word. This goodly word, what is this goodly word? This goodly word is the word of truth. The word of truth. Listen, when you speak the truth, don't just think in terms of religious truth, right? Meaning, you know, I read it in the Quran, or Prophet Muhammad said it, peace be upon him, whatever. No. Are you telling the truth? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're on a witness stand or whether you're Muslim talking to people about Islam or whatever. Are you telling the truth? It's just simple, plain, actual truth. Well, that truth is rooted in reality. No matter how disconnected we may be from the foundation of the truth that we're telling, and no matter how simple it may seem, and no matter how insignificant it may seem, if you're telling the truth, you are speaking from the foundation of creation. Very important. So the parable that Allah gives is that of a goodly word. And it says that goodly word is like a goodly tree whose roots are firmly fixed and its branches reach to the heavens. See, God has already told us right there. He said it's a parable. It's a metaphor. It's a model. It's abstract. Some of you know the word mutashabih. It's abstract. So God is telling you, don't think I am talking about physical trees. I'm using that because you know trees. And you know how trees grow, right? And you know when a tree is alive and you know when a tree is dead. And you know that fruit-bearing trees, the healthier they are, the more fruit they bear. This is inside your experience. Allah telling you. This is inside your experience. So let me tell you something about something that you don't see through something that you do see. Let me tell you about something that you don't know through something that you do know. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using an object that is the tree, and a good tree. Allah is using an object that is seen to point to a subject, which is what? Truth and reality. This is what Allah is using the goodly tree. He said, I'm going to show you something from the ghaib. I'm going to show you something from the unseen. I'm going to show you something that is beyond your human perception, but which you participate with in by your very existence. I'm trying to help you, God. I'm trying to help you understand the truth and reality that you exist in and that you are a part of. So I'm using this object to give you the subject. And that is the unseen, so that you can see and understand unseen things that I want you to see. Allah said, I want you to see the unseen. And the way that I'm going to lead you to seeing the unseen is by showing you something that you see. Now, so that means you take it down a level. And look at the words. And this is simply the English. It says that it is firmly fixed. And for you that you're going to miss the point because you're over on the side thinking about something you shouldn't be thinking about. Don't think I haven't read the Arabic and haven't understood the Arabic. I just don't spend time in these moments with that because the object is understanding. So don't think I'm reading the English just because that's all he can read. You're mistaken. I had to say that. Now let's go back to what I came to say. So it says that this goodly word is firmly fixed. Firmly fixed in what? It says firmly. It didn't say what it was firmly fixed in. Yeah. Those who like grammar, is that a transitive or is that an intransitive? I'm going to leave you with that. You work that out. Firmly fixed in what? Right? It says it's pointing us to the foundation of reality. That's what it's firmly fixed in. Just like that goodly tree is rooted in the solidity of the earth, well, truth is rooted in something even deeper than the soil that the tree is rooted in. Truth is rooted in the foundation of the nature of creation. And every word of truth has that as its source. And every word of truth has that as the energy that it brings, that when that truth comes out, it is carrying the energy from the foundation of the creation itself. You make a big mistake if you think that's rhetoric. The foundation of reality, the heart, right, is firmly fixed in the substance of the seen, which is unseen. Everything we see, God says it throughout the Quran in many ways. said, look at the orbs that are held up in the sky, nothing holds that, nothing, with pillars that you can't see, right? The pillars that are holding up, now we know about gravity and the quantum field and all the rest of it. We know that now. But you know that from thinking and scientific demonstration, but you didn't know that, and you don't know that from visual, because that verse is always going to be true. Everything that you look at out there, you will not see. You do not see the pillars that hold it up, not in any physical respect. So the idea is that Allah is saying, let me show you something that is unseen, that is more powerful than what is seen. And the thing that is more powerful than what is seen is the word of truth. And that word of truth is what, out of which, as verse 48 of 34 is saying, Allah projects with truth everything that you see. So everything that you see is a projection of truth. And every truth that is expressed is from that same foundation and source. So the goodly word is the word that has the power. The truth is the word that has the power. Falsehood doesn't have the power. But if you don't have the truth and someone comes to you with falsehood, you can get caught up in the illusion that the falsehood is able to manufacture and impose upon you if you don't have the ability to think, as we said last week, and thereby when you think, you see things correctly. So it's all this connection between thinking on the truth and the reality of what Allah has ordered, what Allah has said, so that when you are assaulted by falsehood, when you are assaulted by the illusions that falsehood is able to cast, you learn how to think with Allah's truth. And being able to think with Allah's truth, the illusion goes away, and you're able to see the reality behind it, bismillah. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh Allah, let not our hearts deviate now if you have guided us right, and grant us a mercy from your own presence, for surely you're the grantor of bounties without measure. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. So Allah says that this is the sign of the goodly tree. And the next verse, and I will remind us as we go forward, those of you who were with us last week, and if you haven't last week connected with what we spoken of in the with regard to the reconstruction of religious thought, you should go back to that also. I believe that was Sunday, actually, because this is what we were talking about. We talked about the seed and how the seed blossoms as thought, et cetera. So that was another. So I want you to understand, these truth is one. Truth is all. It's all integrated. It's all connected. Tawheed. All right. So it's firmly fixed in what? So that word, that goodly word, that word of truth is firmly fixed in the foundation of reality, the haqq. And it is firmly fixed in the substance of the seen, that is that substance of, you see something, but it the substance of what makes it something, with the substance that makes it something, whatever it is, if it's natural, then it is grounded in what is unseen, which is the foundation of reality, which comes from God. And God says in the 24th verse of the 42nd surah, 42:24, an expression of it is, or do they say, he has invented about Allah a lie. That is, they're lying on the prophet, saying that he invented a lie. But if Allah had willed, seal your hearts. And Allah eliminates falsehood and establishes truth by his words. This is what we've just said. Someone comes at you with falsehood. Do you know the truth that falsehood is lying about? If you know the truth that falsehood is lying about, then bring those words, and those words will cause that falsehood to disappear, just like Nimrod's mind locked up when Abraham brought him the truth. Make it rise from the west, since you have that power. Same way. Why? Because Abraham knew he was lying about his powers over nature, his power over life and death. You're lying. and let me prove you're lying. Do this. You can't do that. So it is with every lie, with every falsehood, you have to understand what are they lying about. That's very important. People tell a whole lot of different kinds of lies. But sometimes we think they're lying about one thing, but you really don't know what they're lying about. So you attack them on the basis of that thing that you believe wrongly. In this case, you believe wrongly that they're lying about it. Then as soon as you go over there, they say, oh, I ain't even talking about that. Look at you. You don't even understand what's going on. So now they got you. You know, you got faded to the left because you hadn't really grasped what it was that they were lying about. So that's very important. All right. So it says, and Allah eliminates falsehood and establishes truth by his words, right? That is Allah's goodly words, words that are rooted in the nature of creation. That's what you use. Ayah. We have Quranic ayah, right? Those are the best words. The Quran is the best word. And the creation are also the best words because they are what? They are words from Allah. They are ayahs. We speak about that natural creation, ayah. And to understand that natural creation is both seen and unseen, right? I don't know if we'll get to it, but not today. I mean, I know, I'm pretty sure we won't address it today, but abstract composites. You've heard me talk about that, right? Abstract composites are real, but they're not something that you can touch and hold, et cetera, but they have purpose and function, and you use them every day. Those abstract composites, those also are truths that can be brought to bear on falsehoods that are brought. You got to understand that the bigger the devil, then he can lie on a higher level, right? The bigger the devil, he can lie on a higher level. So whatever it is that you're trying to deal with, you need to get on that level in order to understand which falsehood or how the falsehood is being played, used, portrayed in that, and the way to do it is to look into the nature of whatever it is that they're talking about. Doesn't matter. Whatever they're talking about, what is the nature of it? You're talking politics, what's the nature of politics? You're talking economics, what's the nature of economics? You're talking education, what's the nature of education? You're talking culture, what is the nature of culture? Once you understand the nature of, because those things as intended by Allah, Allah intends for there to be education. Allah intends for there to be culture. Allah intends for there to be governance. Allah intends for there to be economics and business. Allah intends for that to be the case. And there are those who bring falsehood to each one of those domains. Those who bring falsehood to each one of those domains, you can only defeat them and be free from their illusion and be free from their falsehood when you understand from Allah the nature of that domain. And that means the direction, the intention, the purpose, the will of Allah for that demand. If you don't know that, and you've only been taught by people who are teaching people to support the system that they've already established, how can you combat the falsehood in the system that taught you everything you know about that system, and you are just a manager of it? You need to get what God has to say about all of those domains. And everything I'm saying has so many levels to it. But let's move on. So, say he has invented a lie against God, but if Allah willed, he could seal your heart. He could seal your heart. Inshallah. So, to conclude, says he has invented a lie against him. So said, indeed, Allah says, he eliminates falsehood and establishes truth by his words. And indeed, he is knowing of what is in, to conclude with this word here. What Allah is saying to us with regard to this subject of the unnatural and the anti-natural quality of falsehood, I've said some things which, you know, when you slow them down and you're just having a coffee table conversation about it, it's natural to have the question, yeah, well, you can know the truth, and you can tell somebody the truth, and you can have the truth. You sure enough know the truth, but that doesn't mean that somebody is going to accept the truth and not believe the opposite of whatever it is that you're bringing, and they'll be just as satisfied what they stay with and with rejecting you and what you bring as the truth, their peace is not broken at all. Their peace, they're confident, they're comfortable, they're not destabilized by anything you said, and they are satisfied that what you have said is false, even though you know it is the truth. All right? I'm going to take that as a given. All right? God is addressing that in this verse. He said, you're saying that, I'm breaking it up, right? He's saying, okay, you say that my prophet, Allah, you say that my prophet has invented a lie. Then Allah, right there, he doesn't go right there and say, no, he's telling the truth. It's from me. No, he just says, but if Allah had will, he could steal your heart. That's what Allah said. Nevertheless, that's not important. That's what you said. Look at this. If it was my will, I could seal your heart. Then it becomes, okay, well, why is that relevant right there in that moment? Why did I say, no, this is the truth from your Lord? He says that in other places. But Allah said, no, if I will, I could seal your heart. So it's like, your heart is not sealed yet. You still have a chance. But then the last part of the verse also says, indeed, he is knowing after God comes back and says, Allah eliminates falsehood and establishes truth by his words, right? So that's God saying that is the truth, and the falsehood is eliminated by my word. Then it says, indeed, he is knowing of what is in the breath. So that coffee table conversation I said, inshallah, as we conclude, is this. Yes. You can tell somebody the truth. You can have the truth. You can verify it. It can be indubitably demonstrated. But they steal. There are those who still will not believe. And many places in the Quran say you can show them angels ascending and descending all day, and they'll say our eyes have been bewitched. Okay? So it's like, don't devote yourself to, quote unquote, making sure y'all gonna accept this truth. Y'all gonna accept this is the truth. Well, you probably die by the time God says that. You'll only fret yourself to death following after people because they don't believe. Jesus says, once Allah has settled your heart that you have the truth, and once you have shared that truth with people who you believe need to know that truth, and they still reject it, well, you be careful that you don't come up with some self-doubt or some misplaced energy and effort trying to, no, I ain't going for that. You gonna accept what I'm saying. Well, see, you're off track right there. Be satisfied with what Allah has blessed you with. Be satisfied with what Allah has blessed. It's not your mission to make people to believe. Allah is the one who controls the heart. He holds the hearts between his fingers, and he makes them believers or unbelievers. That's Allah's decision. It's not our job to make sure that people believe. So consequently, the message is actually that you are rejecting the natural truth because of what possesses your heart, and because your heart has become possessed by a falsehood. There are people whose heart belong to falsehood. Their heart belongs to falsehood. So here you come with the truth, and no, I don't want that. I'm in love with what I already got. So they have been possessed by something in their heart that seals them away from the truth. And it's a mistake for us, inshallah, if we have the truth, to feel it's our obligation to make sure everybody believes what it is that we have. Hadith of Muhammad says, truth is what makes the heart feel tranquil, and falsehood is what wavers in the heart, even though you've been given fatwas in your favor. If you have found what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you feel tranquil in all those domains that I'm talking about, if your heart is at rest with the position that you've taken in that, and you are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to thank Allah for where he has placed you, what he has placed in your heart, and everybody else has to deal with life as Allah has created it, and they have to deal with their own existence. It's not our job to make sure those near ones and dear ones believe the way we believe. You're in the wrong business, in the wrong territory. So, brother and sister, let's keep all this in mind. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayy al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi-idhnihi يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, divine power, your blessings, your mercy. We thank you so much for your forgiveness. We beg for your forgiveness. We beg for your forgiveness of the sins before and now and later. We beg your aid, guidance, and assistance. Oh Allah, bless our hearts to be possessed of your will, to be possessed of your truth, to be possessed of your purpose, to be possessed of your design, to be possessed of your direction. Oh Allah, make us servants of yours, pure. Oh Allah, protect us from the shaitan. Protect us from the plans of shaitan, the works of shaitan, the suggestions of shaitan, the delusions of shaitan. We beg this of you only, for without your help we are completely lost. Oh Allah, forgive us and forgive those near to us. Oh Allah, bless us to learn how to forgive ourselves and to forgive those near to us. We beg this of you only, for we can't do it without your aid, your assistance, your power. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Couple of announcements. So we have the Zoom Arabic class Saturday 9 to 11, per usual. Also the Anas Children's Program for ages 6 to 13 twice weekly continues. Also the Anas Youth Business Loan Program for ages 9 to 18. You can apply for business loans and start building a business. We are also seeking loan sponsors for both the Anas Business Youth Business and also the Anas Children's Program. You can contact Dr. Shuai Peters at mshspeters@gmail.com. And donations can be given to Master Your Word Theme. Alhamdulillah, happy birthday to Hodari Nagavik. Alhamdulillah, February 2nd. Also now available, Master Your Word Theme, commentary on selected verses of the Holy Quran documented by the documented from the teaching of Imam Warathuddin Muhammad, and they are only $50, and you can get them tomorrow from Yolanda Shuad at the Meshawarthin yard sales. Get yours. This is an artifact that is just way beyond trying to explain, so I won't. Alhamdulillah, so the yard sales tomorrow from 9 to 3, and also we want you to save these dates. For March 6th, there's going to be a Master Your Word Theme community check-in, so we can touch base and Zoom with Master Your Word Theme members. The login information and the like is going to be emailed and sent to the corporate membership to ensure that you are contacted. Make sure that we have your current full name, address, zip code, and phone number and email address, and you need to send that to mwinc@masjidalwarathin.org, so that you can be appropriately contacted if it's appropriate to do so. Also, July 3rd, just save the date. There's going to be an open-air fair and market right here in this area, that is in our block, in our area, July 3rd, inshallah. Details are coming. Our condolences to Rashad Shahid, the beautiful voice of our Muezzin that you hear, to his family whose aunt passed in San Diego. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And also keep Sister Karima Noris Sultan, keep her in your prayers. And as always, the obligation of zakat does not end. So your zakat, sadaqah, and other donations are also sincerely appreciated. May Allah guide us to the best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواسوا بالحق وتواسوا بالصبر. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين وزيتون وطور سنين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فلا يكذبك بعد بدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم السلام عليكم السلام عليكم الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم
ولا الضالين.